Cattle Rancher, Convenient Wife by Lightning, read by X-Man Hater. Written for SBN Harlequin for the prompt. Cattle Rancher Jensen Ackles isn't looking for love, but he is looking for a wife. He wants a partner who will settle down with him in the outback, a practical down-to-earth woman who won't be seduced by the bright lights of the city. Hot ex-actor Jared Padalecki doesn't seem to fit Jensen's criteria at all. With his model looks, he can't trust that Jared's growing attraction to him is for real. But that doesn't seem to stop Jensen thinking about him, every minute of every day. "What I need," Jensen says, "is a wife." He drains his beer, tasting it bitter on his tongue, and as he slams the glass down on the bar, the guy he's talking to gives a bark of disbelief. "Seriously?" He's pretty sure the guy's name is Jared. Like, he knows it's got a red at the end, and Jensen can't think of anything else at the moment, so that's probably it. He has no idea why he's telling, probably, Jared about why he needs a wife, mind. But Jensen's quite comfortably drunk, and hell, it's a face to ramble at, and not a bad one. Jared's looking at him with a mixture of horror and disbelief. "You're just going to find some woman and marry her because you think it'll be convenient?" Jensen snorts as he waves to the barman, who slides another beer towards him. He's not normally a big drinker, okay? But Jensen doesn't come into town all that much, because it's a bitch of a drive from the ranch, and he normally has to make a night of it, and it seems dumb to make all that fuss just to get drunk. Once a month, maybe twice, that's enough for Jensen, slip in a few beers and some human company while he stocks up on food. Besides, who gets pissed when the only sentient beings in a 100-mile radius have four legs and say moo? In his time, people have called Jensen shy, justified, and rude, which clashes with the former accusation a bit, but sure, he's flexible. But they've never called him stupid. "It's not like I'm doing it because I'll love her," he says, not unreasonably. "Yeah?" Jared asks, and then takes a sip from his own drink. It's pink. Jensen doesn't know what it's called, and he most certainly doesn't want to ask. "You sure?" Jensen would roll his eyes, but he's not completely sure he'd still be on his stool by the end, so he looks obviously around him. "They're in a gay bar. Ask a stupid question and all that. Only woman I've ever loved is my mama." And, in fact, the only man Jensen has ever loved is his dad. As a rule, Jensen doesn't subscribe to that sort of stuff. Love is meant to be smushy and happy and full of people hugging and whispering sweet nothings to each other in the darkness lit with scented candles. Or something. Jensen? He's a cattle rancher. He doesn't need someone to love. "So, basically you want a broad to do your laundry and make your dinner," says Jared. And, yeah, that's pretty much nail on the head. "Yeah, that sounds about right," Jensen replies, and flashes him a long, slow smile. He may have had more contact with Randy Bowles than hot guys over the last few years, but he's had plenty of practice in his youth, and it's worked almost every time. Jared purses his lips and looks deeply unimpressed. "You know, that's, like, the most sexist thing I've ever heard. Ever." "You a woman?" Jensen asks, letting his eyes wander down Jared's body to check. Not for the first time, he takes in long legs and muscular biceps, suggesting that Jared's shirt covers an equally muscular chest. Just what Jensen likes, but unfortunately, he's getting the impression he won't be getting laid tonight. Shame. "Why don't you ask a guy to do it?" Jensen laughs at that, because seriously? No guy would take on a job like that. "Why not? Free board, he just has to do a bit of extra cooking and stuff." Jared pauses, stares down into his empty glass. Jensen's a fairly observant guy. He has to be, it comes with the work, and Jared's only had one drink. All evening. Jensen doesn't think it's because Jared can't hold his alcohol either, because the guy's built like a really big, sexy house. "You'd probably have to leave out the marriage bit," Jared adds, and grins. "Okay, boss," Jensen replies sardonically. "So how am I going to find this all-cooking, all-cleaning guy who won't be my wife?" Jared doesn't reply for a minute, just staring down into his empty glass, as if he'll find Jensen's ideal man swimming in the bottom. Jensen has half a mind to warn him against it, because if the guy can fit in Jared's glass, then he's probably not sturdy enough for what Jensen has in mind. Then Jared sighs, straightens. "Where are you staying?" he asks. "Motel down the road, called the Desert Star, I think," Jensen says, and pulls a face. Original name, tasteful, cowboy decor inside. There's an honest-to-God Stetson nailed above his bed. "Early start?" Jared asks again. "Yeah, I'm going at 5, Jensen replies, and he could be imagining it, but Jared actually winces. "Your guy will meet you in the parking lot at 10, too," says Jared, and Jensen stares at him. "You're kidding," he says flatly, and Jared grins. "That was quick." "Only when I want to be," Jared retorts slyly. You owe me, man. Jensen thinks about arguing, just for argument's sake, but whatever. The beer is warming his stomach, and even if he has to send whatever guy Jared's hooking him up with back to town within a week, he'll be company. Jensen never thought he'd miss people so much until all he had around him were fucking cattle. So he nods and waves the barman over to refill Jared's drink. The next morning dawns bright and sunny. Jensen kinda hates it when they do that because it makes him feel like the collective world has turned out to laugh at him while he's hungover. Still, he drags himself out of bed and forces his protesting limbs into action, and before long the few possessions he'd brought down with him are packed in his rucksack and he's ready for the long drive home. When he gets down to the car, someone's leaning against it. Jared. In hindsight, Jensen shouldn't even be surprised, because nobody could network as fast as Jared would have needed to. Even tall, pretty boys like the one standing before him like a whore advertising wares. Luckily, Jensen's in a mental place at the moment where he doesn't really have the energy to be surprised, so he decides that Jared probably has his own reasons and that they probably have no relevance to Jensen. After all, he's got what he wanted, company, cooking, and a complete lack of anything in a skirt. Unless, of course, Jared likes to wear skirts because Jensen certainly won't put anything like that past him. And he's fairly sure he wouldn't complain if Jared did decide to wander around in a skirt. But that's neither here nor there. Morning, Jensen says, unlocking the truck and slinging his pack into the back seat. You always get up this early? Asks Jared. Sometimes. Jensen casts a quick glance over the containers of food stacked in the back, but it's all in order. Truck's a mess, he says. Okay. Jensen stares at him for a moment, then shrugs and opens the door, settling into his seat with a sigh. When Jared doesn't follow suit, Jensen frowns and glances over. Jared's just standing at the passenger door, looking at him. You want a written invite? Says Jensen, because there are a few things he doesn't like, and wasting time is one of them. Cattle don't understand things like, I didn't untangle you from the barbed wire fence because I was dealing with my deep emotional problems. You don't mind? Seriously? Asks Jared, pursing his lips as his fists clench around his own bag. The breeze picks up for a moment and blows his hair into his face, and Jensen briefly considers telling Jared to get a haircut. It passes, though, because they really don't know each other yet. And also, cute. If Jensen went in for cute pretty guys, which he generally doesn't. But if Jared ever manages to get himself in the damn truck, then maybe he could learn. You said you'd find me a wife, Jensen says. So it's you. So what? For a moment, Jared just keeps looking at him. Then he gives a quick shake of his head and possibly a smile and gets into the truck, twisting around to toss his bag behind him into the back seat. Thanks, he says. You're thanking me? You've just volunteered to be my wife, Jensen replies. Are you going to keep calling me wife? Jared asks, and his voice sounds a little petulant, but when Jensen looks over, he's smiling again, light and teasing. Maybe, he retorts. What are you going to do about it? Oh, Jared says, and then the smile turns wicked. I won't put out. Well, damn, Jensen drawls. Just like a wife. Not much of a threat, darling. You're kind of an ass, aren't you? Says Jared. Well, says Jensen. Yeah, but an honest one. No lying hereabouts. He doesn't mean to be cruel about it, but Jared doesn't reply for a while, so maybe he hit home. Jensen considers apologizing and is about to open his mouth when he realizes that, actually, he has no reason to. He'll be the one paying Jared's way, after all. Nothing wrong with a bit of honesty, a laying of ground rules, so to speak. Sorry, Jared says eventually. I didn't want to seem desperate or something. I just didn't want you to say no. Have you got a deep dark secret? Jensen asks, layering suspicion onto his voice. No. If the cops come calling, will I have to pretend I don't know you? No. Jared does sound horrified enough by this, so Jensen figures he's probably all right. Are you planning to rape, kill, or rob me? He asks shrewdly, and Jared laughs. Like I'd tell you if I was, he argues. The cows would miss me if I died, Jensen warns. They're very fond of me, and you'd have to feed them until the cops arrived and make sure my body didn't pollute the water supply. Jared keeps laughing, and his voice is deep and genuine. Jensen can't help but feel that someone who laughs like that has to be at least half decent. I don't think you're taking this seriously. If at any point I decide to kill you, I promise I'll take care of the cows, Jared says. Good. So tell me, wife, where have you been the rest of my life? Jared pulls a face at him. Around. I was an actor. Didn't really work out for me. An actor, Jensen thinks. Well, that's a killer for the whole sounds decent, so probably is theory. because if Jared's an actor, then sounding personable is probably a way of life. Still, no need to draw conclusions quite yet.
"Doesn't work out for most actors," he said flatly. "Thought about it myself, actually, but then we moved out here. My dad told me the future was in cattle or something like that."
He can still remember it now, the family out on a new, strange ranch, and Jensen's dad sitting him down and telling him that the future lay in big, dumb animals that wandered around saying moo until they got eaten. He'd thought it was a pretty stupid idea at the time. Still thinks it's a fairly stupid idea now, if he's honest. But it's a job, and it pays.
"Apparently, trying to start in Hollywood as a big, gay yeti doesn't win many favors," Jared says, and Jensen hears the gloom creeping into his voice.
Direct quote.
"From my agent," says Jared, "when he fired me." They sit in silence for a few minutes, Jared staring out of the window as the buildings thin out and the grassland springs up around them, and Jensen focusing on the empty road.
"No agents out here," he says finally. "Just cattle. And me."
"Great," Jared says, but he doesn't sound too horrified at the prospect, and he did volunteer after all.
"Great," Jensen agrees and drives on.
"I think you should wear an apron," says Jensen, watching Jared's ass with great interest as he bends over the stove.
Dinner is sizzling happily, and even though Jensen has no idea what it is, his nose likes what it can smell, and that's good enough for him. Jared is settling into life on the ranch with great aplomb. His introduction to the cattle had been fairly successful as they crowded around the two men as soon as they disembarked from the truck. "I thought they lived out in the fields," Jared had said as the cattle milled around them, and Jensen took the range cubes out of his pack. Jared had watched with interest as Jensen distributed them among the hopeful beasts, a look of confusion on his face.
"This is a pretty small ranch. I just give them free range."
"And feed them treats?" Jared had asked as Jensen held the bag out to him.
He took it, though, and had made a couple of dozen bovine friends for life in a matter of minutes.
"Yep, they're like really big dogs, in a way," Jensen had explained.
"So do I call them Rover or Bessie?" Jared had joked, and it had all been smooth running from there. Ranch life for Jensen is really a matter of feeding cattle, mending fences, and checking nobody's sick or hurt. His main worry about bringing anyone else in was that they wouldn't like the company. But Jensen's pretty sure he heard Jared attempting to moo back at the cattle sometime after lunch, so he figures that for an ex-actor, he'll fit in fine.
"I think you should go sit outside with Rover number 2. Learn some manners," says Jared, jolting him back into the present.
"Rover number 2?
"That's what I said," says Jared, as though it should have been obvious. Jensen is fast settling into the idea that Jared may be a little on the crazy side of, well, crazy, but to his surprise he finds it quite endearing. Which is all very lucky, of course, because if he doesn't find his mooing, cattle-naming companion endearing, the alternatives aren't exactly great. Jared takes the frying pan off the stove and skillfully transfers the contents onto their plates.
"Not bad," says Jensen when he tastes it, succulent and juicy and perfectly cooked.
Jared has somehow managed to do something with plain meat that Jensen has never managed in all his years of living out on the ranch. Still, no sense in showering him with compliments too early.
"Not bad," replies Jared. "I'm fucking amazing."
"Quite an ego you've got there," Jensen says dryly.
"I'll show you," grumbles Jared. "Just you wait."
"You sure you don't want to wear an apron? Got my mom's in the back somewhere. It may be a bit frilly, but I'm sure it'll suit you,"
Jensen says, grinning widely even though his mouth's full.
Jared gives him a look of complete distaste. "Any other fetishes you might want to tell me about?"
Wait, you volunteered to be my wife, and now you're shunning my aprons?"
Jensen fakes offense, but he doesn't think Jared is buying it. Pity. He can just imagine Jared in his mom's apron. Short and frilly, it'd probably only reach halfway down his thighs, revealing huge expanses of long golden legs. Yeah, Jensen can imagine Jared in his mom's apron. And very little else.
"This is going to become a problem, isn't it?" Jared asks with a sigh, but Jensen's sure he's hiding a grin.
"Damn right," he replies.
They finish eating, and Jensen shows Jared the rest of the house. Jared seems very pleased to discover that Jensen does, in fact, have a computer with full internet access and a nice big television.
"What did you think?" Jensen asks. "No electricity?"
"I thought maybe you were one of those back-to-nature guys. Just you, the cattle, and miles of open sky," Jared says dramatically, waving his hands in the air.
Jensen snorts. "I'd have gone mad,"
says the guy who wants me in an apron.
"Zip it, wife,"
Jensen orders, and Jared rolls his eyes and smacks him on the arm.
Over the course of the evening, Jensen discovers that although Jared has spent the last few years in L.A., he was only in Jensen's neck of the woods because he was heading home to San Antonio. If Jensen had made his pit stop a day later, Jared would be back home by now, bumming food and shelter off his disappointed parents. Still, the fact that Jared is a born and bred Texas boy does explain a number of things, like the drawl that matches Jensen's own and the sheer size of the man. Jensen is fast coming to conclude, however, that the other things, like the constant touches and smacks and teasing, and the ever-present grin, that's all Jared. "Yeah, so I've got about 11 packets of sherbet strips in my bag," Jared says, in a confidential tone. "What, no clothes?" Jensen asks, wondering if it's too early to suggest that he wanders around butt naked, or too late to suggest again that he wears the apron. "Who needs clothes? I'll stick 'em together, and whenever I'm hungry I'll eat my shorts," Jared says, his voice airy and confident, as though people did that sort of thing all the time. Maybe they do in L.A., thinks Jensen. Anything is possible. Jensen wonders if it's too early to decide that getting a wife is one of the best ideas he's ever had. Time passes slowly on the ranch. The first few days are mainly good, if a little rocky. Jensen continues to call Jared wife whenever he can, because although he likes Jared's face when he smiles, he's possibly funnier when he's scowling and attempting assault. Jared has one noticeable similarity to the cattle, in that they all act something like dogs. Jared's like a giant puppy, but one that cooks and cleans and mocks Jensen in the morning when he hasn't woken up properly. Jensen teaches Jared how much food to give the cattle in the morning, and how often to check that there's enough water in the trough. He shows him the river and promises that when they have time, he'll teach Jared how to use ranch cubes to lure fish to them. Jared helps him prepare bales of hay for the winter. "Always be prepared," Jensen had said with a leer, and Jared had pulled a face and shoved him over into the long grass, and refuses to tell him his cooking secrets. They flirt, constantly. Whenever Jensen's being particularly mean, Jared sighs and says, "Well, I was planning on putting out tonight, but now I don't think I'm in the mood." Jared constantly refers to Brokeback Mountain, as well as its dirty little brother, Bareback Mountain, both of which he appears to have studied extensively. One night, after a few too many beers, Jared informs Jensen that he's hotter than both Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger, but only when he's being nice. In return, Jensen constantly refers to frilly aprons, comments loudly on the size of his cowpoke, and parades around the house shirtless whenever possible, complaining loudly about the heat. He's extremely gratified when Jared starts to do the same. Accordingly, Jensen's had to start covering up inappropriate boners in a way he hasn't since he was a teenager. He jerks off every night, and as he does, he's thinking of expanses of bare chest, huge eyes, and floppy hair. And he's never been more frustrated in his life. 3 weeks in, Jared takes a deep breath over breakfast and says, "I have to make an important announcement." "What?" Jensen asks, pausing with his fork full of cooling hash browns halfway to his mouth. A thousand answers, from "I'm leaving" to "I love you," flit through his mind. "I'm out of candy," says Jared. "This is a terrible situation," he continues as Jensen starts to laugh, food dropping from his fork as he gasps out his relief. As Jared begins to pout, Jensen is overcome with a wave of sheer affection for this guy who planted himself in Jensen's life, in response to a mad whim taken from his drunken mind. He likes Jared, really likes him. "So go buy more," he finally wheezes. "We're in the middle of nowhere. I'll have to start eating range cubes," Jared says mournfully. "You could always drive into town," Jensen suggests. "Stay the night at the motel and come back tomorrow." "Seriously?" Jared blinks at him. Jensen raises an eyebrow. "It ain't gonna be a vacation for you, wife," he starts. He's pretty sure that under his breath, Jared mutters, "Here we go again." "I'll make a list of stuff I need you to get," he says briskly. "Think you can handle it?" "I'm not a toddler," Jared says. "You're not coming with me?" "No, you're not a toddler," Jensen retorts. "It's time for the herd's vaccination, so I'll be pretty tied up. You'll manage. I'll give you some cash and the keys. You should get an overnight bag and set out as soon as possible." Jared stares for a moment, so Jensen takes another mouthful of his breakfast and waits. Finally, he says, "When I said as soon as possible, did I need to provide a thesaurus?" No, says Jared and hurries out of the room. Thoughtfully, Jensen stares at his ass as he leaves. Jared is gone within the hour. Jensen keeps himself busy most of the day and manages to make his way through most of the herd. They seem out of sorts, though, and it's not just because he's driving them up a chute, armed with a scary-looking needle. In his heart, Jensen knows they're feeling the same as him, somewhat at a loss after seeing a now familiar mop of hair in the driver's seat of Jensen's truck, disappearing off into the distance. As Jensen tucks into his extremely substandard dinner, it strikes him how illogical this whole business is. Jared's an actor. A failed actor, but nonetheless, it was his profession for a few years, essentially to tell lies for money. And after knowing him for 3 weeks, Jensen just gave him a wad of cash and the keys to his truck, and told him to come back the next morning. He's a complete tool, Jensen realizes. He deserves to lose it all. He should have gone with Jared, or gone himself, or just something. Jensen's a pathetic old man of nearly 30, he decides. It's a sad story when he's missing someone he hardly knows after just a few hours of absence. But against all reason and logic, he does. A cow lows in the distance, and Jensen considers doing a Jared and shouting, "Moo!" back. Jared's back in time for lunch the next day. He waves frantically at Jensen from the other side of the fence, beaming and probably on a complete sugar high. But Jensen doesn't care because he's just that happy and relieved to see him. He makes his way towards Jared, mindful of the cattle milling around, until finally Jared reaches over and pulls Jensen into a huge, crushing hug. Right, thinks Jensen. Man hug. He's done them before, and in his experience they are always brief and uncomfortable, and very, very manly. Jared clings onto his shoulders for a good 10 seconds, though, and eventually Jensen starts to feel comfortable, and lets his hands sneak around Jared's back like they want to. Jared's only wearing a thin t-shirt, and through it Jensen can feel warm skin. He can practically smell how happy Jared is. It's sort of unnatural how blindingly happy Jared seems to be most of the time. But at the moment, he's enveloping Jensen with it, and Jensen couldn't be, well, happier. I'm back, Jared says, releasing him. Jensen stumbles backwards slightly, unsure what to do with his hands. At least he dropped the needle when Jared first arrived, though. Otherwise, the whole greeting-hug incident might have been rather more painful for all involved. I honestly hadn't noticed, replies Jensen. And I have candy, says Jared. Lots of candy.
Should I be scared?
Maybe. A little. Jared looks shifty. By the way, there was some money left over at the end of your list.
Oh, yeah?
Jensen suspects that he should be feeling worried, but he can't. All of the anxiety of the last few hours has lifted right off him. He doesn't feel worried. He feels great. Really great. If he'd told himself a month ago that he would be feeling this great because some guy had gone shopping and then come home, Jensen would still be laughing now. Completely illogical, that's what it was. I may have got, stuff, Jared confesses.
Like,
herbs, and a walk, and stuff, you know. Jared waves his hand vaguely. Also a couple shirts, since mine are kind of ratty. Plus a new ironing board.
I'm pretty sure I didn't give you enough money to buy all that without the shopping list, Jensen says slowly. And the motel, too. What did you do, Jared?
Quite a lot of it was mine, Jared says quietly, not looking at him.
You paid? Jensen asks, just to clarify.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just cook and stuff, and if I'm going to be here long term, Jared says, luckily oblivious to the way Jensen's heart feels like it's swelling with every word. I'm going to need more clothes and a decent ironing board. And a walk. So I thought I would chip in.
You're sure?
Jensen's mouth is still working, but his mind is pretty much stuck on Jared's statement that he's planning to make his stay long-term. Long-term. As in, he won't leave Jensen here on his own and not come back. Jensen might need some time to recall a few past conversations, but he's pretty sure this is one of the best things anyone has ever said to him. Jared gives him a sidelong glance. Yeah? So it's a bit pathetic, and a lot irrational. And completely against everything Jensen has ever told himself about himself for, the entirety of his pre-Jared life. But at the same time, Jensen feels like he's about to explode from happiness, pure and simple.
Who's a good wife? He croons, patting Jared on the shoulder.
I hate you, mumbles Jared, completely without venom, and nudges him companionably.
Is it Jared?
Jensen looks out at the cattle, which moo in agreement.
Yes, it is. Jared's a good wife.
Jared rolls his eyes and shoves him again, and Jensen shoves him back, and, yeah, Jensen's in love. All in all, it should be perfect. Jensen Eccles has fallen in love with his wife. Men are meant to love their wives, right? Except Jensen's wife is a large gay man who, although a complete flirt, is apparently oblivious to the hopeful looks and heated glances Jensen sends his way whenever possible. If this is perfection, perfection is torture and the very epitome of sexual frustration. Still, because Jensen is a glutton for punishment, when Jared overheats while they're fixing fences and decides to take his shirt off, Jensen certainly doesn't warn him against it. So there they are, mending fences. Jensen would try to make something phallic out of the fact that they are spending the day picking up posts and waving them around and sticking them in things, but unfortunately they are also hitting said posts with hammers and wrapping them in barbed wire. And if that's phallic, well, Jensen really doesn't want to think about it. Instead, he sets himself a routine. This is how it works. 1. Pick up post. 2. Look at Jared. Admire the way the sweat gleams on his back. 3. Pick up post hole digger. Insert into ground. Use as necessary. 4. Look at Jared. Admire the way the sun lights up his golden skin and shines off his face. 5. Stick post into ground. 6. Look at Jared. Admire the way his skin flushes in the heat. 7. Pick up hammer. 8. Look at Jared. Admire the way his damp hair falls into his face, and he has to keep flicking it out of the way with those giant hands of his. 9. Using a metal staple, hammer barbed wire to the fence. 10. Look at Jared. Admire the way his chest heaves with exertion and his muscles shift and flex as he wields his own equipment. 11. Return to stage 1. Repeat. Jared looks up while Jensen is in the middle of his 10th round of stage 10, subsection A, try and fail to resist an uncomfortable and untimely erection, and says, "Hey, I feel like I'm doing all the work here." "That's because you're a woman," Jensen explains, "and therefore self-righteous and whiny." "No, I'm not," Jared protests, and glares at Jensen when he shrugs. "Also, you're such a bigot." "You like it," says Jensen. "You're just lucky you're gay," says Jared, "and pretty." "I'm not pretty," Jensen says primly. "I am butch and manly." "I bet women all over the world pay to get lips like yours," Jared tells him. "They don't know it, but that's how it is. Maybe you're misogynistic because in your heart you feel that you actually are a woman." Jared frowns to himself, as if trying the words out on his lips. They look tasty. The lips, not the words, obviously. Jensen would feel insulted, except for the last few days everything Jared does has this happy sort of fuzz around it. Jensen hopes it will pass soon, for purely practical purposes, and tries to ignore a little voice inside him that wants to feel this way forever. "I bet when I'm out in the fields," Jensen says, "you do wear an apron, and you hide it under the wok when I come back." "As if." "You can't lie to me," Jensen says. "I'm on to you." He tries not to think of the various ways he would like to be on to Jared, and fails. "Your head," Jared decides, "must be a scary, scary place." Jensen resists the urge to tell Jared that actually it's feeling pretty good in his head at the moment, if a little giddy. Instead, he suppresses stage 10, subsection A, and gets back to work. That evening, Jared knocks on Jensen's door and then enters, looking extremely sheepish. "You all right?" Jensen asks sleepily, sitting up in bed. "Yeah," says Jared. "Except, could you do me a favor?" "Sure," says Jensen. "I'll even pound you into the mattress if you ask. Hell, even if you don't ask. How about it?" "What's up?" Jared gives an embarrassed laugh. "This is really stupid, but, the whole walking around shirtless thing today didn't do me much good." Jensen rolls over in bed to flip the light switch as Jared steps further into the room, and as the other man comes closer, Jensen can see that he is more or less bright red, skin already beginning to peel. "Next time I'm putting on sunscreen," says Jared. "I took care of the front, but I can't reach my back properly, so help?" He waves a bottle of after-sun cream at Jensen, who shakes his head. "Got something better. Be back in a minute," he says, forcing his tired limbs out of bed and down the stairs. Jensen's back a few minutes later, a couple of thick stalks of aloe vera in hand, already cracking them open to get to the healing sap inside.
"This'll do you more good. Lie down?"
"Thanks," says Jared, and he doesn't need a second invitation, stretching himself out on the bed and resting his head on Jensen's pillow. Jensen briefly considers flailing, but decides against it as he stares at Jared's back. It's red and looks extremely uncomfortable. He wants to lick it. Jensen takes a deep breath and begins to smooth the sap onto Jared's back. Jared shivers at first contact, and then Jensen finds himself making a shushing noise as he starts to rub it in, fingers moving in large, smooth circles on Jared's skin. It's good, Jared mumbles into the pillow, and Jensen can't help but smile. After a few minutes of slow, steady work, not that Jensen's deliberately moving slowly, but he needs to be thorough, of course, Jensen's back begins to cramp from leaning over. Can I? He asks, gesturing to Jared's back. Jared twists his head to give Jensen a questioning glance over his shoulder, and Jensen gestures again. Whatever you want, Jared says generously. So that's how Jensen finds himself sitting astride Jared's back a few minutes later, rubbing far more sap than is strictly necessary into Jared's shoulders. He's not feeling sleepy anymore, wide awake at the idea of so much contact with so much of Jared's body. Jensen is well aware that he should have finished quickly, but Jared is sighing and even groaning on occasion, and Jensen just can't stop. Thanks, Jared says eventually, turning to look up at Jensen again with heavy-lidded eyes. You're welcome, Jensen replies, and his voice is embarrassingly rough. Jared stares at him a moment more, and Jensen realizes he can't get up because Jensen is sitting on his back. He clambers off hurriedly, and Jared sits up in a fast, fluid motion. Thanks, he says again. You're still welcome. Jared doesn't move, though. He just sits there staring at Jensen, measuring him, and Jensen suddenly feels horribly inadequate in his old boxers, and very little, well, nothing else. You okay? Jensen asks, and he almost thinks Jared isn't going to answer, and then he does. All that hammering and hole-digging today really hurt my shoulders, and my back. His voice is as rough as Jensen's, and Jensen wants to run his hands across Jared's chest to see if the words make it vibrate. He thinks they probably do, but wants to know for sure. Empirical testing, very scientific. Yeah, he breathes. I have massage oil, I could... Yeah, Jared replies. You should... Jensen practically leaps off the bed and dashes into the bathroom, but when he gets back with a bottle in his hand, Jared's not on the bed anymore. He's standing in front of it, and he's naked. Fuck, says Jensen. I'd like that, agrees Jared, and then they're stepping towards each other and kissing, long and slow and just hard enough to drive Jensen crazy. Everything about Jared, Jensen decides, is huge. Huge hand number one is tugging down his boxer, smoothing over the skin of his ass with indecently long fingers. Huge hand number two is somehow everywhere at once, one moment running through his hair, then trailing down his neck, his spine, then moving round to dance across Jensen's chest. And his mouth, God, Jensen feels like he's being swallowed. In the best possible way. Jared's tongue is thrusting into his mouth, a filthy promise of what's to come. Jensen moans as they topple back onto the bed, the aftersun falling forgotten from his hand, and as their bodies press together, he feels Jared's cock hard and huge against his stomach. What took you so long? Jensen asks when they break the kiss, and then starts to work his way down Jared's chest with wet, open-mouthed kisses. Jared tastes bitter and smells like medicine, but Jensen doesn't care because this is Jared, which makes it pretty much the best thing ever. Me? Fuck, Jared gasps as Jensen moves up to gently close his teeth around one of his nipples. I fucking moved in with you. I bought a walk, Jensen says, against his skin. Please, fuck me. Something like that, Jared says. Jensen laughs and then crawls back down his body until he can take Jared's dick into his mouth. Jensen doesn't suck cock very often. There's rarely an opportunity, and when there is, his partners tend to be the rough-and-ready sort who don't want to waste time. But the thing is, Jensen loves it, and Jared has the prettiest cock Jensen's ever seen, thick and swollen and pretty damn perfect. Fuck, Jared gasps, and Jensen wants to smile, but he's got other matters to focus on, namely the slip and slide of hot, hard flesh on his tongue and the fact that he has Jared in his mouth. Oh, God, I knew you'd be good at this, Jared's saying. This is why you have the perfect lips. Your mouth, it's so... Fuck, Jen. Nobody calls him Jen. Mainly because Jensen doesn't really like it. But he calls Jared wife, and it sounds good coming from his lips. So what with the fact that Jensen's mouth is too full of dick to complain anyway, he decides to let it slide and applies himself to the matter in hand. Well, not in hand, but whatever. An idea strikes him, and Jensen fumbles around on the bedclothes until his fingers brush cool plastic. Jensen pulls back just enough that he can focus on pouring a large dollop of oil onto his hand, and then sucks Jared back down. Jared's moaning wordlessly on the bed above him, head thrown back and hair in his face as his chest heaves. Hoping for the best, Jensen slicks one of his fingers and presses gently against Jared's hole. Jared stills. Fuck, he says, and Jensen's about to stop, or just keep going the way he was before, because from Jared he'll take what he can get. And then Jared pushes down towards him, saying, Yeah, Jen, more, fuck. And Jensen finally realizes that yes, this really is happening. Jensen feels almost dreamlike as he slicks his fingers again and works them inside Jared, one by one. Jared's thrusting wantonly towards him, and when Jensen curls his fingers in just the right place, Jared practically chokes him as he bucks up. Sorry, Jen. God, that's so fucking good. You've got to stop now or I'll come. Not one to resist advice that might lead to him getting laid, Jensen backs off, rising up onto his knees so he can look down at Jared. Jared's lying boneless on the bed, eyes half-closed and dick angry red and wet against his chest. Can I? He tries, but his throat is sore and used. Jared? God, yes, do it already, says Jared, and Jensen doesn't need telling twice. He practically dives toward the drawer where he keeps his condoms, fingers fumbling in his eagerness until he's finally kneeling between Jared's spread legs. Go on, Jared urges. It's not like I'm gonna break. And there's me thinking you're a delicate flower, says Jensen. And then leans in to kiss Jared's neck as he pushes forwards into almost impossible pressure. Christ, he chokes. Nah, I'm Jared. Jared's hands are braced on his shoulders, palms hot and sweaty, and Jensen stays perfectly still. But you can call me God if you want. Lucky you're so modest, he says. The most modest person ever, Jared agrees, taking long, slow breaths. Yeah, you can do it. That's all the encouragement Jensen needs, and he begins to thrust into Jared slowly, feeling the muscles working around him and trying to change the angle each time until he pushes in and Jared goes stiff, letting out a choked moan. Neither of them last long after that, Jared's words turning to nonsense and Jensen's thrust growing increasingly erratic, until he comes with a loud groan, feeling Jared spurt wet onto his stomach as they collapse together on the bed. When he catches his breath, Jensen slowly reaches over and pulls the covers across them, and Jared smiles, slinging his arm across Jensen's back. Jensen smiles back and opens his mouth, unsure what exactly he's planning to say, when Jared interrupts. If you call me wife, he informs Jensen, I will cut you. Okay, Jensen says happily, and that's enough. I like the letter F, Jared says. Jensen opens his eyes lazily and watches Jared pull the fish out of the water and inspect it with a critical eye. The best words begin with it. Yeah, he asks, letting his eyes fall closed again and enjoying the feeling of sunlight playing on his face. This is the life. There's not much to do with the cattle today. They're all well, the fences are finally finished, and Jared is apparently trying to catch dinner. And now I can add fishing to the list, Jared says happily. Fishing, food, fucking. Filching other people's drinks. The list goes on. Does it? Jared pauses, thinking. Well, not at the moment, he admits. But you're just being pedantic. Sure, blame your inadequacies on me, Jensen says, pulling a face. You think I'm inadequate? The tone of Jared's voice is suddenly less playful and more lustful, and when Jensen opens his eyes, Jared is kneeling above him. Somewhere behind him, he can hear the cow Jared has named Bessie Number 3, lowing peacefully. Jensen didn't even name cattle before Jared was here, didn't think of them as anything other than cattle that would eventually not be thought of as anything but dinner, or maybe lunch, or maybe even breakfast. The possibilities are endless. But the meal or snack is irrelevant. What matters is that Jensen now knows that the cow standing a little way behind them is Bessie Number 3, because Jared has decided so. Jared has this sort of effect. Even the things that should remain completely unchanged by his presence have molded to fit into the craziness of Jared Padalecki, from the cattle he has named to the river he fell in last week. Jensen loves it, of course, because he loves Jared. Not that he could tell him. And everything around him is now, in some small way, Jared. It's just that every time it strikes him, how yet another part of his ranch has somehow become a part of his wife, the small part of Jensen that is convinced that he's always going to be miserable, pokes him sharply in the back of the head and whispers that it can't last. After all, as Jared said himself, Jensen is a misogynistic ass who can't cook and thinks cattle are the future. Jared is, or at least was, a Hollywood actor with a smile that could outshine the sun, and the attention span of a demented gnat. So Jensen knows that he should enjoy Jared while he's got him, and hope for the best, and he does. Prove me wrong, Jensen challenges. 5 minutes later, any doubt which Jensen never really had in his mind in the first place is thoroughly exorcised as their dicks slide together, with Jared's hand wrapped around them, Jared grunting a mixture of insults and endearments in his ear. As far as inadequacies go, there was never really any question of Jared failing. Jensen loves his dick, loves the way it feels, long and thick and hard, as he sucks it into his mouth or holds it in his hands. Jared's pretty much insatiable. All he needs is a hint or a carefully placed insult or challenge, and Jensen suddenly finds himself covered in well over 6 feet of horny padalecki. Even the insult wife has started to trigger some sort of Pavlovian reaction in them, with the slur on Jared's masculinity apparently necessitating the great and indeed immediate need for Jared to exert it. Over the next few weeks, any number of cattle are thoroughly traumatized as Jensen and Jared fuck in various fields around the ranch. "It's amazing," Jared once says afterwards, running his hands down Jensen's chest as the sweat dries on his skin.
"I know, but I don't like to say it myself," Jensen replies modestly, and Jared smacks him.
"I meant that we can just do this anywhere we want and with nobody to see."
"Not sure about that. I think you're going to have to apologize to Rover Number 2. He didn't look impressed," Jensen corrects him.
"Poor guy," Jared agrees sadly. "I'll go show him a little love later."
"Not too much," Jensen says, wrinkling his face.
"Hey, what are you implying?"
"Nothing, nothing at all."
They fuck on the kitchen table a few times, although Jensen never does manage to get Jared to wear the apron. On one memorable occasion, they do it in front of the bathroom mirror, and Jared's huge hands make smear marks on the glass as Jensen lazily thrusts in and out, and they watch themselves move in the mirror. Jensen is forced to conclude that he looks like a bit of a freak as he comes, but it's worth it when Jared tells him afterwards that it was one of the hottest things he's ever seen, and maybe they should invest in a video camera. And it wasn't just because of the we, either, although Jensen doesn't even pretend to himself that he doesn't like the way Jared seems to be assuming that what they're doing will be permanent. Then there's the bedroom, and the shower, and the other bedroom, and once against the door of the truck when Jared got back from a supplies trip. Anyway, Jensen concludes happily after 4 months that this whole wife thing is easily the best idea he's ever had, and his libido seems to agree. So there it is. Jensen's life is as perfect as it has ever been, and he's fairly ridiculously happy. Unfortunately, however, his inner pessimist was right. Things are about to go horribly wrong. It all starts with Jared announcing that they're almost out of essential foods, such as ham, apples, and gummy worms.
"Miss you already," Jensen jokes as he trails Jared out to the truck a little later.
"I don't blame you," Jared agrees, dumping his duffel bag into the passenger seat, and then turning to draw Jensen into a kiss. Jensen smiles against his lips and tries to drink in the taste, the smell, the feel of him, winding his fingers in Jared's hair. He's about to suggest that Jared maybe delay leaving for a couple more hours when Jared draws away, plants one more quick kiss to the base of Jensen's neck where he likes it best, and then swings himself into the truck. Jared starts the engine and turns to wave him goodbye.
"I love you,"
and he knows that Jared hears him because his left hand freezes mid-wave. Jared doesn't stop the car, though. Jensen watches him tear down the road and disappear off into the distance, heart thudding in his throat and feeling like the biggest idiot to ever walk the earth.
"Fuck," he says loudly.
Rover Number 1 gives him a look of disdain and trundles off towards a clump of grass, so Jensen curses again and stomps away. That's the morning. Jensen quickly comes to the conclusion that the untimely confession was possibly one of his dumbest moments ever, outshining even the time he set the kitchen ceiling on fire at age 9 while attempting to make a cheese toastie. It's not totally his fault, if you take into account the way the mouth often seems to separate itself from the rest of the body, in particular the brain, and function solo. Jensen had been working himself up to telling Jared for a few weeks, chickening out every time the opportunity arose. Clearly, his mouth had made its own plans. Unfortunately, the focus of all Jensen's current worry is already tens of miles away with Jensen's truck and heart in his possession, and Jensen has no idea whether Jared is going to bring them back. Jensen's a practical guy, though. Once he's come to all these highly unhelpful realizations, he does what any other practical guy would do in his situation. First, he replaces the cattle feed. Second, he checks the water. Then he arms himself with as large a hammer as he can carry and spends the rest of the day checking fences. Because if there's one thing he really feels like doing, it's swinging a hammer at something that can't hit back. And that's the afternoon. In the evening, Jensen tries to watch a movie, but Jared's seen them all, and his running commentary sounds in Jensen's ears as loudly as if he were there, hogging all the popcorn and poking Jensen's shoulder at intervals. For all Jared loves acting, Jensen thinks fondly, he has very little patience for watching anything those of his former profession produce, and precious little respect for the actors themselves.
And that's just it, Jensen thinks suddenly. Jared's an actor. Jensen could have no idea what Jared's actually thinking, what Jared has ever thought of him. For all Jensen knows, this could just be a game to Jared, a way of keeping himself off the streets and fed, living a comfortable, easy life. The sex could be just that, sex. Something he did to keep Jensen happy so he could stay. Love was as probably as low on Jared's agenda as it had been on Jensen's. No wonder he decided to run. Dinner is a mixture of burnt and undercooked, because Jensen is too twitchy to wait for his potatoes to cook properly, but too distracted to notice when his sausages begin to char. He drinks plenty of beer, though, and burps loudly, because Jared isn't here to look disapproving and then burp louder. Jensen tries not to think about Jared sitting in the bar by the motel, surrounded by other guys, who will undoubtedly be drawn to him just like Jensen was, like moths to a bright blazing beacon. Or maybe Jared isn't in the bar or the motel, but far away, sitting in Jensen's truck and driving and planning never to come back. Fuck, Jensen hates Love. This is why he never bothered with it before, because before now he was tough and independent, and never spent his evenings stressing and pining and failing to drown out wave upon wave of jealousy and paranoia. He's pathetic. You're pathetic, Jensen says to himself, and the crowd watching some baseball match he's tuned into screams and whoops in agreement. There, he thinks. You knew it would go wrong. At least, Jensen decides as he puts himself to bed unnecessarily early for want of anything better to do. At least he was right. His last thoughts before he falls asleep are that it's possibly unreasonable to judge Jared when he wouldn't be home even if Jensen hadn't been an idiot. But Jensen has a bad feeling. A real bad feeling, like the one he sometimes gets when a storm's coming or cattle sickness is on its way. In the morning, Jensen doesn't remember his dreams, but he doesn't think they were good. Jared said he would be home in time for lunch. With that weighing heavy on his mind, Jensen decides to finish what he started and takes his hammer out to check the rest of the fences. He gets around the rest of the perimeter by lunchtime. Well, actually, he's done a little later than he normally likes to eat, as it happens. But sometimes it's okay to eat lunch late, right? As it works out, Jensen starts to make his way back to the house to fix himself lunch at 3 in the afternoon, hammer swinging uneasily in his hand, and Jared still isn't back. Bessie number 8 is waiting for him near the house, lowing unhappily as Jensen drops the hammer on the porch and heads out to see what's wrong. It's as he steps closer that everything changes. The feeling of wrong building inside him crescendos, and as Jensen reaches out to pat Bessie number 8 on the back, she kicks out. One of her hooves catches Jensen hard on the kneecap, and he feels it shatter and shouts out in agony, falling backwards. He's too close to the house, though, the porch steps right behind him. Jensen is just about aware of a blinding pain in the back of his head as it strikes the steps and then everything goes black. He regains consciousness only once over the next few hours. Jensen opens his eyes to darkness and realizes that night has fallen and that Jared hasn't come back. Because why would Jared leave him here if he was home? Jared hasn't come home. So Jensen tries to push himself to his feet but remembers too late about his knee. A hot bolt of pain shoots up his leg, and Jensen's head swims with nausea. And this time he's relieved to slip back into the dark. When Jensen next wakes up, he's in a hospital, everything clean and white around him, and the air smelling of chemicals. His head feels fuzzy and light, like someone's taken his brain and replaced it with cotton wool, but that's fine by Jensen. He blinks a few times, trying to adjust himself to the scene, and catches movement in the corner of his eye. It's Jared, slumped over on one of the hospital chairs, limbs too long and ungainly to fit properly, so his legs and arms are skewed out around him. His face is unshaven and his eyes are red as he stares at Jensen. Jensen isn't sure, but he thinks Jared might be wearing the same clothes he was when he left. "They've given you morphine," Jared says, "and operated on your knee. You'll be fine, but no chasing cattle or running around for a while, okay?" "I thought you weren't coming back," says Jensen. "The truck broke down in the middle of nowhere," Jared replies quietly. "Took ages to get it fixed. Jen, I'm so sorry." "I told you I loved you," says Jensen. "And you drove off without looking back or saying anything, and then you didn't come back. And I thought maybe this was all a game and you didn't really want to be with me." "It must be the morphine," Jensen thinks. "The morphine, or maybe his mouth running off without him again.
because he's pretty sure his brain isn't playing any active role in deciding the words he's saying. Thought maybe you'd take my truck and do your own thing and never think about me again, leave me to die on the steps of my own house. Jensen isn't sure, but under the happy nothingness caused by the drugs in his system, he thinks he sees something in Jared snap closed like shutters on a window. "You thought I'd do that," says Jared. "You're an actor. You're smart and funny and amazing, and you're living on a ranch with a guy who thinks cattle are the future. I only blamed you a little." "That's what you think of me?" Jared looks as hurt as Jensen's pretty certain he would feel if he hadn't been pumped full of painkillers. At least, as hurt as Jensen felt when he thought Jared had gone. "I didn't know," says Jensen. "I won't again." "No," says Jared. "You won't." He gets up and walks away, and Jensen wonders if he's chased Jared off for good this time. Jared comes back with the nurse a few minutes later, though, and she babbles on at him about how lucky Jensen was that Jared came and got him, because he probably wouldn't have lasted the rest of the night. Something about exposure and internal bleeding and permanent loss of movement in his injured leg. Jared sits next to the bed in silence, jaw working and fingers twisting the corner of Jensen's bed covers. "About the wife thing," Jared says a few days later, breaking the silence in the truck as he drives them back to the ranch. "Yeah?" asks Jensen, worry curling in his gut. Jared had promised the nurse that he would take care of Jensen while he healed. But what if now that it's just the two of them, Jared can't bear Jensen's company anymore? Man, it's all so fucked up. "I promised I'd look after you, so I will. I won't go anywhere until you don't need me. But if you think I'm only here because you give me a place to stay, when you're better, I don't know." Jared's lips quirk. "Getting a divorce, if that's what you want." "That's not what I want," Jensen says hurriedly. "You sure?" asks Jared, and he doesn't sound convinced. Jensen doesn't blame him. He's pretty sure he couldn't have handled this whole situation worse if he'd tried. But if Jared was the man Jensen feared he might be, he would have run for the hills long ago. And somehow he's still here, driving the truck beside him. "I'm sure." Jared is the perfect carer in almost every way. Jensen is just about able to hobble around, but Jared is everywhere, helping him up and down the stairs, and still doing everything required to keep the ranch running as normal. He cooks, he cleans, and he reminds Jensen to do the exercises the nurse advised him on. "You're like God, in a way," Jensen tells him once as they eat dinner, and Jared tells him what he's done that day. "What, just one way?" Jared jokes, and for a moment it's like it was before, and Jensen is tempted to just lean across the table and kiss him. He doesn't, though, because that's the one thing Jared isn't doing right. Because after he's checked that Jensen made it out of the shower in one piece, and is in bed with everything he might need for the night, Jared just gives him a funny look and goes off to sleep in the guest room, where he had been before their relationship began. Some nights, Jared almost looks like he's going to stay, looms close as if waiting for a kiss, or touches Jensen's hand or shoulder, but he always pulls away. After a week of awkward touches and stilted conversations, Jensen knows he needs a plan. Thing is, he's never been good at plans. One of the reasons Jensen suspects that he's always been so happy working with cattle is because they don't care about feelings. In the same way that Jensen is sometimes annoyed about how you can't make excuses to a cow, he likes the fact that you don't need to exercise emotional subtlety. If you need to tell something to a cow or make it do what you want, there tends to be one set way to go about it, and you don't need to worry that it will take offense, steal your truck, and drive away. Part of it is probably the lack of opposable thumbs, but Jensen's pretty sure that there are more obvious and important differences between Jared Padalecki and the average cow. "I love Star Wars," Jared says happily as the credits roll, stretching on the sofa next to Jensen with a contented sigh. Jensen is very tempted to say, "I love you like you love Star Wars." He doesn't. "Harrison Ford could beat the crap out of that Hayden guy," he says instead. Jared laughs. "True. Man, it'd make great TV. I'd pay good money to watch that." Jensen looks at him, all loose and relaxed, and decides to seize the moment. Carpe diem and all that. "Of course, the Romans all died. Probably a lesson there, too." "Look," he says, "I'm an idiot." "Tell me something new," Jared replies, laughing again, but his eyes are slightly wary. Jensen plows on. "The thing is, I haven't really done this before. I mean, you turned up and suddenly everything has something about you. When I said I wanted a wife, I meant more like, a maid, not someone I'd get attached to. Then you came and named my cattle and bought a walk," Jensen says, and the sheer ridiculousness of the situation strikes him, not for the first time.
And that's a bad thing?
No, it's a good thing. A great thing, actually. And then I got thinking that maybe it was all too good to be true, and then I told you I loved you and you just left, says Jensen. What was I supposed to think?
You thought I was fucking you? What, just because you wanted it? Like a whore? Jared demands, and Jensen winces at the implication.
He hadn't thought of it that way around before. Jared is a man of integrity, and sure, his definition might be a little loose some of the time, but it still stands.
No, not like that, he says.
They're just words, that's all, says Jared.
I clean your house and cook your meals, and I don't care that the only company we keep are cattle. And I let you call me wife even though it's really annoying, and someday, if you're really good, I might even wear an apron for you.
Jared's cheeks are red, and he fiddles with the remote, turning it over and over in his hands.
Oh, says Jensen. When I came, I planned to stay a month, just to get back on my feet and look at us.
Jared waves his arms around and gives a choked sort of laugh.
You're pretty much my life, Jen. You shouldn't need me to tell you I love you.
Jensen thinks on that for a while, really thinks, and Jared's right. And funnily enough, Jensen's more than happy that this time he was the one to be wrong, that maybe his gut feeling isn't always correct, and that maybe some things aren't too good to be true.
I'm sorry, he says, staring at his hands.
You're really messed up, you know that, Jared says, but there's no malice in the words.
Yeah, I know, says Jensen. He looks up and gives Jared a sheepish grin.
You gonna freak out on me again? Asks Jared.
I'll check with you first, maybe try out that faith thing, promises Jensen,
and Jared smiles and shifts closer.
It still stands, you know, what I said.
Which bit?
The bit about me loving you, Jensen says quietly, and then Jared pretty much dives at him, crushing their lips and bodies together on a sofa that isn't really big enough to hold two men of their combined weight and size.
The springs groan under them as Jensen groans into Jared's mouth, Jared's tongue flicking against his own, hot and wet and everything he's been missing.
Jared draws away.
Yeah, he says. I know.
Then he's all mouth and hands, shucking Jensen's shirt up until the material bunches under his armpits, and running cool fingers and burning lips over his skin until he's shivering and gasping.
Fuck, says Jensen.
Fuck.
Ow, mind the knee.
Aren't you fragile? Jared coos mockingly against his skin. So Jensen yanks none too gently at his hair. Jared responds by sucking hard on the sensitive skin just below Jensen's belly button, and then surprises Jensen by scooping him up in his arms and lifting him off the sofa.
Hey, Jensen complains, but lets his arms fall around Jared's neck, under the flimsy pretense of keeping balance, and meditates on the way Jared's erection grinds against his ass as he carries Jensen up the stairs. Jared barges through the bedroom door and collapses onto the bed on top of Jensen, burying his face in Jensen's hair.
Far too fragile to handle stairs at speed, Jared explains, and Jensen growls and starts to tug at Jared's clothes, following the receding lines of fabric with his tongue until Jared's panting above him, eyes dark and skin gleaming with sweat. Finally, they're both naked, Jared kneeling between Jensen's knees with a curiously determined expression on his face. That's how Jared just is, Jensen realizes. He cares about candy and cooking and cattle, and he dedicates himself fully to everything he does. And at the moment, everything for Jared happens to be Jensen.
It's perfect, thinks Jensen, and it's real.
I want to, Jen, can I? Starts Jared, trailing his fingers down Jensen's chest until they brush against his dick. And Jensen just about restrains himself from moaning and bucking up towards him.
Yeah, Jensen says, as Jared's fingers close around him, losing himself in the touch and his warmth and everything about him. It doesn't take long before Jared's slowly working one of his fingers into Jensen's ass, and Jensen marvels yet again at how fucking long they are. Jared's peppering his face, neck, and shoulders with slow, open-mouth kisses, hand moving relentlessly on Jensen's dick until he growls.
Just do it already.
Okay, Jared agrees, moving away for a moment to roll a condom onto himself as Jensen watches hungrily. And then he's leaning over again, pushing in agonizingly slowly as Jensen digs his fingers into Jared's shoulders to stop himself writhing. And then Jared stops.
For God's sake, I'm really not that fucking fragile, says Jensen,
and wraps his good leg around Jared, grinding his hips upwards, until he's rewarded with a low moan as Jared starts to move.
You've got to just, yeah, like that.
You like that better? Jared murmurs into his ear, body pressed close as they slide and thrust.
You want more?
Yeah, always, Jensen gasps, letting his head fall back as Jared's lips graze his throat.
Always, Jared, always.
When they're done, Jared leaves Jensen sated and panting on the bed and goes downstairs to get water. Which, Jensen thinks, is just like Jared.
Such a good wife, he says when Jared gets back, an overflowing glass in each hand, face still flushed and unashamedly naked.
I hate you, says Jared, rolling his eyes as he hands Jensen his drink, but Jensen's already shaking his head.
No, you love me, he replies happily, patting the pillow beside him. Come back to bed.
The end.